Now, for our message today, we are going to wrap up our series that we've been going through on what it means to be known in the world as Christians. And just as a quick review, let me just highlight some of the things that we've talked about. We started off in the beginning of January, considering how the early church had favor with all the people. We read this in the book of Acts, that they went into the temple daily and they enjoyed the favor of all the people. So the church was well known and well liked among the general population. And I contrast that with where we are today. I had a conversation this week about the possibility of churches in our community offering their facilities for a community event. And the feedback was, oh, no, we don't want to do that because people might feel uncomfortable going into a church. And I thought, how sad is that? That we have facilities that people could use, and no, we don't want to do that because people, they don't know how people are going to feel being in a church building, much less being around Christians. It's a conversation I'm going to continue to have and see where it goes, but life today is so much different than it was for the early church, and it's my desire to see us do all we can to build up the reputation of Christ through the way that we are known. And that's been really at the heart of this series. So we've considered what the Apostle Paul said about proper boasting or having confidence in your identity in Christ. And then having confidence to boast in your weaknesses, because for where we are weak, God is strong. From there, we considered several character traits that come out of life submitted to Jesus. There's a gentle spirit. Remember that word, I don't know if you remember, that word, the Greek word we talked about, epiakos, which has so much more meaning to it. It refers to having a gentle, loving, patient consideration for others. We're called to have that kind of spirit. We're called to have abundant joy. We're called to offer the grace of generosity to people and have a love for God's righteousness and be fruitful with our lives. Now today, as I wrap this up, I'm not going to focus on learning another character trait to think about, but rather I pray today would be an encouragement for who you are in Christ, and that you'd be encouraged by being part of the family of Christ throughout the world and down through the ages. I hope that you would be inspired to be known in this world and in this community for your commitment to Christ and for what he is able to do in you and through you. So we're going to begin by going back again to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, and I am going to have Liam come on up here and read that for us.
You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, and they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
So we've been going back to that passage week after week, and for the past several weeks, I've really been building off the last part of that, where it says to let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. Today, I want to focus more on the first statement, where Jesus says, you are the light of the world. That is a statement of truth about you if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. There's a special place that Jesus has given the church, given followers of Christ in this world, to be a light in this world. It's a job that he gives to his church and nobody else. There's nobody else in the world who has that calling. You are the light of the world. Now, of course, we recognize that light is what God has given us through Jesus. And we just reflect that light to the world. It's not us, but him that we make known. If you're a Christian, at some point in your life, you gained an awareness of the truth of the gospel message. You recognized the sinfulness of mankind, and you confessed your own sin to God, wanting to be forgiven in order to be united with him in the direction of your life. And so you put your faith in Jesus, believing in him to be the Son of God who died on behalf of us, on our behalf for our sin, and then rose again from the grave, making payment for our sin and setting you on a new path in life where you have fellowship with God through his Spirit. So that awareness that you've gained, that awakening of your heart and awakening of your mind to view the world in a whole new way, to see the truthfulness of God's word as part of the light that God has given you. You've gained new knowledge of God, and you hold that within you. You have new understanding about him, about the world, and about your interactions with him. So all of that is part of this worldview that you now have. Now, along with that, God has made himself available to you in a personal way by sending his Spirit to dwell within you. You may recall a passage I shared last week from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where he writes, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. This is a powerful statement about what God has done through your faith in Jesus. He has given you everything you need for a godly life. He has given you the knowledge that you need to know of God's goodness. And he has made himself available to you. You participate in his divine nature. He's set you apart in this world and given you a special place in his kingdom. This is not just talking about the future once your physical life in this world has done. He's talking about here and now. You are a new creation in Christ. You have a special bond with the Lord. He has made himself available to you. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." That again, it says that God has set us apart in this world for special work. He created your life in Christ Jesus when you put faith in him for a special purpose. In addition to all that, you've been placed in a family, a body of other Christians to work together with for God's glory. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul describes that body of Christ. And there's a couple of pieces of that I want to highlight today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He starts out this passage writing about, just describing what this body of Christ is and about the value that every part has. He says, "This is the work of the Spirit." In verse 7, he writes, "To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the abilities to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individual as he wills." That whole passage, he is saying over and over that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. That God gives you a place in his family. He gives you abilities and gifts to glorify him through the work that we do together. Being a church is not just a decision that we make as human beings to participate in some religious rituals. It is the work of God. In fact, Paul goes on in verse 18, he says this about the church. He says, "God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose." And I really cling to that as I think about the church and I think about our church. This is assembled by God. God brought us here together, brought this group of people for his purposes in this community. There's a special work that God is doing in us and among us to make us be the light of the world here and now. And I share all these things to highlight that fact and remind us that there is something much bigger than ourselves that we are part of. The church has been set apart for a special purpose in this world. It's a high calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that there are a lot of things going on in our lives that tend to distract us from that. We all have a lot of things that we need to take care of and manage in life. But it is still true that God is at work, and he is doing and able to do much more through us than we can imagine. And I know there are a lot of ways that you probably feel like you fall short of that calling. And I know that. I'm very well acquainted with that thought myself. We can look at our own lives and see ways that we fall short, where we don't measure up to this calling to be a light in people's lives, to live the way that God asks us to live. And it is a fact that we do all fall short on our own. But the amazing thing about what God does when we live by faith in him is that he takes us as we are, and he multiplies our efforts, and he does so much more than we're capable of doing on our own. It is him and his presence with us that give us that ability to be a light. God doesn't look at our weaknesses. He looks at what's possible. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we read, "We all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So again, it says that God accepts us as we are, with our weaknesses, with our failures and our sins, but he doesn't dwell on the past and what has been. He dwells on what lies ahead. And he knows what we are capable of doing with his strength and his transforming power. This does require us to truly have faith in him beyond our own capabilities. It requires us to continue to look to him and trust him as we step out and let his light shine. But when you do put your faith in Jesus, your life and your outlook on the world are changed in significant and permanent ways. Because of those changes, you are now a conduit for the light of Jesus to share with the world. You are equipped and able to let his light shine through you. This is the truth that the Bible declares about everyone who puts their faith in Jesus. And I want you to be encouraged today and reminded that you are the light of the world. No matter what you see in yourself, no matter how busy you are, or how many other things block you from doing all that you want to do for the Lord, God is at work within you, and God is able to work through you in marvelous ways. Now, as further encouragement today, I want to consider just some of what the church has accomplished in this world over the centuries. Just take a look and consider what all the Christian church has done throughout the ages. So often what we hear from popular history is about times that went bad, when terrible things have been done in the name of Jesus, and they certainly have been. But that's always been true. Sin has always been a major influence in mankind's actions, even when those people profess to have faith in Jesus. But those sinful actions don't negate the truth and the power of God at work in God's people for those who truly trust in him. Evil done by people who promote selfish agendas is not the reflection of the true work of the church. The good works of people who truly trust in the Lord are so much greater and so much more powerful. So I want to look at that bigger picture. Throughout history, the church has been at the center of many movements directed at advancing care for another people, of promoting equal treatment and value and opportunity for all people because they are image bearers of God. The church has been at the center of bringing hope and help and healing all over the world. For example, did you know that hospitals are a Christian invention? Early medical care was mostly focused on treating wounded soldiers. The average person who got sick or wounded really didn't have anyone except perhaps their family to care for them. But at some point, by the 4th century AD, Christians began opening their homes to care for the sick and needy. And in time, those homes began to grow and become more specialized and focused on things like some would care for the sick, others would care for those with mental issues, others would care for people, for orphans, and on, as more and more needs were found and these needs became, the the care of those needs became more specialized. And that was what led to the medical system we have today. It's because Christians decided to share the love that God had given them with other people and care for them and their needs. It was all started by people motivated by their love of God. The church has also had a major influence on education and making it available for all people. Because we understand that we've been created in God's image and God has given us the capacity for reason, early Christians started developing universities to study theological concepts and learn how to apply them for life. Those are some of the first colleges. We're all focused on developing theological insight. They focused on, early Christians had a passion for, or because Christians have a passion for understanding God's creation. That was a motivation behind the beginning of all kinds of mathematical and scientific studies. This major rift that we see today between science and faith is fairly new in the history of the world. Christians have always been curious about this world that God created and led them to develop studies to understand God's creation and understand our role in it. During the Reformation, Christian leaders had this revolutionary idea that all people should be able to read God's word for themselves. And they began translating the Bible into common languages and actually teaching people to read. And that was a new idea in the world. Whoever thought that the common person should be able to read for themselves rather than have somebody else tell them what things say? They did. They thought it was dangerous to allow everyday people to read. But Christians understand that all people are made in the image of God. All people are capable of thinking and reasoning and making choices for themselves. And so they made God's word accessible and the whole world accessible through teaching them to read. There's a Christian motivation. As Christian missionaries took the gospel to new people, they taught those people how to develop new skills in order to give them new opportunities and make use of their God-given capabilities. This continues today as missionaries go to third world countries to teach people to care for themselves better, to give them knowledge that will help them build better lives for themselves and their communities, all motivated by a desire to be a light to the world for Christ, to share what we've been given. Welfare systems were largely initiated by Christian endeavors. Their focus was not just on giving to the needy, but rather helping the needy discover that they have been created by God for a purpose and helping them know that they are capable of great things. All of these things have been done by people motivated by a desire to share the light of Christ with the world. And this has always been the mark of the Christian church. This is the church that we belong to. Just this past week, too, I listened to a podcast about ministries working within our prison system. Right now, that there are about 1.5 million people imprisoned in America. Just think about the size of the city that is. 1.5 million people. And over 90% of those people have a background of major trauma in their lives. And so several Christian organizations throughout the country have recognized this, and they are today transforming lives of inmates by helping them process through the past traumas of their life, helping them to understand that they are loved by God, that there is hope for their future, and they're introducing them to Christ. In many of those programs, as inmates' lives are transformed, they are actually becoming the leaders themselves, and they are, as they are living in prison, they are ministering and leading other inmates to Christ and helping them find healing as well. It's just fascinating to me to think about how much ministry is going on between inmates in the prisons because Christians have reached out to them and let them know that they are loved by God and that there is hope and healing for their lives. All of this is the result of people motivated by what God has done for them. They've stepped out in faith to live fruitfully, sharing what God has given them for the sake of others and the glory of God. These people recognize that despite any shortcomings or failures that they have imagined being an inmate and looking at their own life, they have stepped out beyond that. They said, no, God has a purpose for me, and I'm going to share what he's given me with others, despite my failures. That's the motivation that comes from being the light of the world. This is the church Jesus established. This is the kind of thing Jesus was referring to when he said, you are the light of the world and to let your light shine before others. There's another way that I think about that the Christian church has stood out in the world as a beacon of light. And that is when there are times of danger and destruction and peril, times of great darkness, Christians desiring to let the light of Jesus shine into the darkness have a tendency to run into the danger, to provide help and lasting hope for those who are suffering. They go to provide help and hope and healing. There are so many accounts of times of war and plague where Christians took the lead in caring for sick and injured. There are Christian ministries you probably know of today that are mobilized to provide help during disasters. The one that comes to mind most for me is Samaritan's Purse. They show up whenever there's a natural disaster to provide help. They showed up at the beginning of the pandemic, setting up mobile hospitals in places where the regular hospitals were overrun to actually provide extra help. That is, their motive is to show the love of Christ in all that they do. And they run into the danger to be there to help. And of course, this is very relevant today with what we prayed about earlier, what's going on in the Ukraine. I received this email the day after the invasion happened about a church in Kiev. It says, if the church is not relevant at a time of crisis, then it is not relevant in a time of peace. And the church has become a shelter. They've recently conducted several trainings on performing first aid. People are learning how to apply tourniquets, stop bleeding, apply bandages, and manage airways. These are the regular people of the church that are going to become doctors. And they're not going to become doctors, but we've given them confidence to care for their neighbors if necessary. And so this church is mobilizing. They know that the needs are going to be great. And rather than waiting for somebody else to come in and take care of them, they are training themselves to be the hands and feet of Christ, to take care of the people in their community, to be known as loving and caring people. They're remaining right there in Kiev so that they can be present to be a light. This is the kind of thing that the church has always been known for. This is the church we belong to, taking action to share the love of God in as many ways as we can imagine, seeking to bring light to a world shrouded in sin. This is who we are in Christ. I share all this today as a reminder of this marvelous thing that we have been called to in the body of Christ. When you consider all these examples I've given today, you may say to yourself, well, those are huge. Those are too big and too dramatic for me to have any part in that. But there's a couple of facts to consider about all of them. So many of these stories that we hear about began with just one or two everyday people motivated by their love of God to make a difference in somebody else's life. And just take a simple step, something that wasn't too difficult for them to just say, I have to do this. I'm going to be here to provide whatever help I can, and I am depending on God to do more than I can do on my own. They didn't set out to change the world, but God multiplied their efforts. The circumstances in which they worked led to much bigger things coming out of what they began. So you never know what God may do through something that you begin today. What might start out small could have an earth-shattering change. You just don't know. But even if it doesn't, every opportunity we take to shine as a beacon of light in the world is valuable and life-changing. Whether it affects one person or 1,000, it's important and valuable and an opportunity to let the light shine. The size of action is not what's most important. But whatever action you can take, whatever action you do take to make a difference for Christ will be meaningful both to yourself and to the people that you affect. And all of these examples I shared, these are just the highlights. There's so many thousands, millions of examples you can bring up of everyday people seeking to be that light, to let their light shine in this world and making an amazing difference. We heard about a few of those right here last week when we talked about our Share the Love event, right? What a huge effect that had to just step out and show a simple act of love to people. It can make a difference in so many ways. So once again, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And the question is, how will you let that light shine? This right now is our time. This is our day. I'm trying to remember. I didn't write it down. I'm trying to remember the exact passage from Ruth. That who knows but for such a time as this that God has placed you here. Think about the state of our world today. Think about how much frustration and uncertainty has built up over just the past couple of years, and now we're adding more uncertainty to it. Think about what must be going through people's lives or what is going through their minds. And we don't even have to talk about all the major, huge things that are going on. I've had so many conversations with many of you about just frustrations about where we see culture going, the choices people are making, the things that are being promoted, the way kids are either not being educated or being allowed to just pursue whatever they want, and what that effect that has on society. We get frustrated about that. The question I want to ask beyond the frustration and beyond seeing the sin that keeps growing in the world is to ask ourselves, what are we going to do about it? What can we do about it? And it's not a hopeless answer, a hopeless question. So often when we ask, what can I do about it? We're thinking we have to do some major thing to change everything. We don't have to think that big. Think about what's one little thing that you could do to make a difference in this world for even just one person. Have a huge effect and allow you to share that light. I'm kind of excited, actually, as I think about this. I wasn't planning on this, but I just had a conversation last Wednesday that ties directly into this whole idea about being known for your faith and letting your light shine through Jesus. So when I think about this church and I look around and I think about being known in this community and what kind of impact we can have, I see huge opportunities because I see people here who have a whole lot to offer this world. I see people who love God. They have a lot of compassion, a lot of kindness, and a lot of care for others, and you want to be able to express that to people. I see all kinds of talent and experiences as well. Some of you are marvelously gifted in certain areas. Some of you have gotten all kinds of training and experience in certain areas of life. Some of you probably have suffered and struggled and at some point just laid your life down to God and said, God, I need help. And then he brought you through and now you have that experience and what you learned through it. Those are all valuable things for you to give to other people. Imagine what a difference you could make if you could share what you have and give it to somebody else. You can have a huge impact. And so I think I was just trying to put words to this. I'm going to try a little bit. As I think about this, I think so often when we think about reaching out to our community in the church, we think about how do I go out and spread God's word? And that is ultimately what we want to do. But in our day and age, people are so far removed from the gospel, and there's this attitude of negativity. We have to begin with finding common ground with people. We have to build relationships with them. We have to show them Christ. And one of the easiest ways I think of is for us to say, you know what? I'm going to go out and just share what I know with people and give it to them. And we have done that. We have done that here in several ways. I think about Vacation Bible School. I think about Moment of Science. I think about the night in Bethlehem. There's all kinds of things that we've done. And we've tried to share with our community and build relationship with them. And those are great. But we've run into this struggle a lot of times. Well, how do we reach more people? Because people don't want to come to us. We need to go to them. And we've talked about that for years. We need to go to them. How do we go to them? And that was sort of brings me to this conversation I just had. I just see an amazing opportunity here. It just so happens God timed it to go with this message. I am part of a Community Education Advisory Council. So we have this community education group at the school that provides all kinds of fun activities and classes for people in the community. And they have this quarterly meeting where they need to invite people from the community in and just report on what's happening. But here's the conversation we had this last meeting. They said, do you know anyone who could teach anything to people this summer? That's basically the conversation. They are desperate for people to share what they have with others. One of the they specifically mentioned, first of all, an art class. Do you know anyone who could teach an art class? Because we've had this art class that kids really love, but the teacher who's done it is not going to be around anymore. And I said, so is it a specific art class? They have to teach a certain curriculum? No. Does anyone just love art and would be willing to teach it? And then the conversation went on from there of other things. Are there a limit to the things that people could offer? No. The biggest challenge that community education has is that nobody seems to be willing to teach anything. They don't have time. They don't think they're capable. It doesn't even cross their mind to think. But their mission is to educate all individuals to be lifelong learners and responsible and productive citizens. They have a goal of providing education, all kinds of education, to all people of all ages in our community. And here's the cool thing I think about this, is that community education is set up with advertising, with a payment system, with facilities, and all the thing that we often are missing or have to come up with our own. But what if we could say, if any of us could say, hey, I could teach this course, and they would provide you the opportunity to do it. I actually have a course coming up, two courses coming up this spring. One starts on Tuesday. I'm doing a soccer clinic for kids. I have 60 kids signed up. Went from 11 on Friday to 60 on Monday because an email went out to parents. This is how much people are interested. And guess what? They pay for the opportunity to learn. So they said, if somebody want to make this into a fundraiser, just charge a fee. There's a fee that you pay Community Ed to do all the advertising for you, but then you could earn some money off of it. And in my mind, so I look at that and I'm like, what a huge opportunity for our church to be known in this community as people with a desire to share what they've been given to enhance the lives of other people. And all it takes is a willingness to say, I can do that. I can teach art. I can teach people how to fish. I can teach people how to fix cars. I can teach people how to build things. I can teach people how to manage their finances. I can teach whatever it is. I mean, you guys are so capable of so many things. What if you could become known in this community as the person who teaches that thing, and you transform lives, and you build relationships, and then you have opportunities to introduce people to Christ and share the love? And that, again, I will build off of that. When I coach soccer, as most of you know, and there's a couple of different ways you can do this. You can do this in the way the normal culture says, is you're out there to build these athletes and make them into super performers and work them as hard as you can to make sure that they can go on to professional sports and win games. Or you can really train them well, right, but do so with a loving, kind, and generous heart and become known for your character in the way that you train individuals. And that's what I really see is the connection point. We can be out there and we can train people and things, and we can go through the paces and teach them and then walk away and gain nothing for Christ through it. But if you go out there and offer something to people and do it as the light of the world, do it with the character of Christ, man, it can make such a huge difference. So I want to throw that out at the end here as an opportunity that I see just waiting to be grasped, that we live in a community that is looking for people to offer what they have for others to grow from. It's an open door for any of us to walk through, to start building relationships with people in this community, to become known in a larger way, and to start making a difference in this world. Who knows what God could do with it? It could go far beyond you. Or you can make the difference a huge difference in the lives of one or two people. Either way, heaven is rejoicing at those changed lives. So, the message today is you are the light of the world. And I hope you can be encouraged by God's word and by the examples that have been given of Christians around the world and throughout time, that there is so much difference we can make in this dark world for Christ through his presence with us, through who he has made us be. And I do pray that we would all take whatever opportunities God gives us to share what we have, to show that compassion to people, and to make a difference, to let our light shine. Let's be known for the character that Christ has put in us and seek opportunities to let people know who he is. Let's pray and give thanks to God. Heavenly Father, I just thank you today for doing so much more in us than just pardoning us for our sins and giving us eternal life. By transforming us, Lord, by giving us your spirit, you have made us into new creations. And I do pray for each and every one of us here, Lord, that we could remember the truth of who you say we are, that we could cling to that truth, Lord, and we could live in such a way that we let your light shine to so many people, Lord. I pray for this church that we could be a major influence in this community, Lord, that people would look at the faces in this room and others that you will send, Lord, and say, hey, I know them. They taught me this. They showed me this. They loved me in this time. And they did it because they love Jesus.